Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Greetings from Las Vegas, just off the strip. Grant Paulson and Danny Rouye with you on The Fan. Danny is in our Half Street studios near Nats Park. I am cross country out west in the city of sin. Fear not, I got in late enough that I went straight to bed last night. Got up late enough that I came straight over to the radio station. What's up, Danny?
My man. By the way, are you a coach at Virginia Tech, Virginia, or Maryland? Probably not anymore within the last week. What the hell is going on, dude?
How about it?
I don't really know what to say. I saw a message last night that Bronco Mendenhall, the UVA football coach, was stepping down. My UVA buddies were thrilled. And as I'm sitting down here getting ready to phone you to start prepping for this bad boy we call a radio program here on Friday, Mark Turgeon is out at Maryland after a three-year extension, by the way. Just very, very puzzling, man. This is a lot to take in.
Very strange. So, just to peel back the layers and open the curtains a little bit, Radio Insider, we do a rundown every single day, and we're kind of going through our rundown, and it's a lot of Washington football team against Vegas, and fear not, no one will better preview or more extensively cover that game today than we will. It's a huge game. Washington's won three in a row. They're trying to make it four in a row. They're in Las Vegas for the first time. By the way, Danny, I cannot believe how many Washington football team fans I've already seen here since I got in. At MGM Grand, just walking in from my Uber to the hotel at the airport. I mean, very clearly the destination this year when the schedule came out. Everyone decided they're going to one road game. It was going to be in Las Vegas. So if you're coming out today or if you're already here listening on the Odyssey app, hit me up at Grant H. Paulson, Twitter, Instagram, and we'll try to do something for our listeners to all link up somewhere this weekend. But that was the plan. We were going to sit here. We were going to discuss a huge win for the Cowboys last night, which makes it harder to win the NFC East. But the good news for Washington is that the wild card got a little bit more enticing, and you felt like you took a step closer with New Orleans' free fall continuing and Taysom Hill looking horrendous and throwing four picks and being hurt in the game, and they're in a bad spot at quarterback. But all that's going to have to wait for a few minutes because, as you said, there is breaking news right now, and that is within the last hour we found out that Mark Turgeon formally, I guess the word being used here is a mutual parting of ways. The Washington Post headline is that he is stepping down as Maryland's head basketball coach. I know some outlets are saying that he's been fired. Maybe it's just semantics. I mean, Maryland, for what it's worth, put out a statement saying that he is stepping down as the head coach and that the two sides are mutually agreeing to part ways. I don't know, Danny, how you want to couch this. I mean, I have had relationships end before that were supposedly mutually ended, and I didn't necessarily want them to end, but we mutually and amicably agreed to part ways. How do you think this went down today?
Yeah, I got dumped, and then you know the postscript was that it was mutual. So this, to me, is another bit of letdown expectations. Maryland preseason number 21, and this is a program that's got an identity crisis, quite frankly. For 10 years, in sort of the height and prime of Gary Williams, 70% of the time, this group would go to the Sweet 16 and beyond, culminating, of course, in the national championship. I don't think anybody reasonably expects a group to go 32-4 and win a national title, cut down the nets and beat Duke and Kansas and everybody on the way, right? That's not a reasonable expectation. But going to the Sweet 16 once in 20 years, that ain't it either. So you look at what's happened here, and Maryland hasn't beaten a top six seed at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6 in the NCAA tournament since 2003. A lot of that predates Mark Turgeon, of course. But this is they just kind of got this time is sort of where they go to the tournament just over half the time. That's not enough. That's not good enough. And there are a lot of excuses that have been made. There have been a lot of, you know, sort of reasons why it's hard and the landscape has changed. You're absolutely right, it's hard. You're absolutely right, the landscape has changed. More should be expected. That's why I was kind of stunned after Maryland this past spring, to jog your memory a little bit, got smacked around by a really good Alabama team that night played as good as anybody in the country. Alabama would have beaten a lot of people in the NCAA tournament. And that there's no shame in that loss specifically. But when you add it all up over the course of Turgeon's entire time here, you'd got a lot of, you know, pretty decent expectations, and the rubber didn't meet the road in terms of postseason production, in terms of their standing in the Big Ten, just in terms of national rankings. It looked like he was run down, like he was tired, like he wasn't happy. The fans had kind of turned on him, people running out of patience. I think this was one of those things that was inevitable. That's why I was so stunned in the springtime, frankly, when they gave him that extension. And, you know, everybody seemed to be on board, and this is great. Well, fast forward a handful of months later, and he's out after a rough start where they're 5-3. I thought this should have happened before, but it's odd that it's happening right now. I just get the sense that this was toxic, and they knew that it just wasn't going in the right way. So they said, hey, why not? And he was like, yeah, okay, that sounds fine. I'll go do something else.
Yeah, you mentioned they were number 21 preseason. They're nowhere near the 21st best team in the country right now. In fact, almost half that many teams are ahead of them in their own conference at this point, if you look at the Big Ten standings. And I know that's a loaded conference, but there's not a single team in the Big Ten who has lost fewer games than Maryland. Rutgers, Penn State, Nebraska, everyone has lost three games, just like Maryland has, or fewer. There's not a four-loss team right now. So they're a game away from potentially having the worst record in the entire conference, which is unacceptable, obviously. Danny Manning, because of that, will be taking over as their interim head coach. They were the number five team in the preseason standings in the conference. So I think a few things can be true here. I've kind of got three big points I would make on this decision today. The first is that moving on from Turgeon is the correct move. Whether he came to them or they came to him, I don't really know, and I don't really care. I think what you said is correct. I'm surprised he was still the head coach at Maryland this year, honestly. I think the success over the last couple of years hasn't been good enough, and he's had a long time. This was his 11th season. Yeah. You don't typically get 11 years to park the car. This was year 11. Are they closer to the destination than they were when he arrived? Not necessarily. And they've been closer on multiple occasions over many, many years while he's been here than they are right now. So those things don't bode well for him. So that's number one. I'll set that aside. We can come back to it. My number two takeaway is he did not inherit the program people pretend like he did. Because of the 2001 and 2002 Final Four runs for Maryland and the national championship in 2002 under Gary Williams, there is this perception that, like, the Terrapins, when he came to Maryland from A&M, were this juggernaut, which couldn't be further from the truth. In fact, if you go back to 2003, when they got to the Sweet 16, in the 8 years after that, under Gary Williams, they only made the tournament four times. They didn't get to the third round, you know, from like 04 to 11 timeframe at any point.
Mm-hmm.
So this was just a broken down kind of program that was fading after those amazing years that made me a Maryland fan, that I'm sure gave you some of your fandom. My mom went there. You had a parent that was there. Same kind of deal. We all can relate. But this team was not the same. This program was not the same. And I think people have a hard time remembering that when he got here 11 years ago, that was at the end of the Gary run, uh-huh, where he wasn't enjoying recruiting, where they weren't getting the types of players they needed, and they weren't good enough. And so he didn't necessarily inherit some juggernaut. People act like he's driving, you know, a Bentley when he's just not. He's not driving the car you think he is. But that brings me to my third point, and this is something you and I, harp is maybe a strong word, but whenever the Terps come up, we do talk about this quite a bit. I just think in general, right now, this moment, I'm not saying they can't get there, but there is an inflated opinion locally of this program's national relevance that could be a factor in who they hire, but also just the quality of the program. Like, I think it's true that Turge has not done a great job. I also think it's unrealistic that they're going to be a top 10 team year in and year out. And I think that's kind of the expectation at College Park sometimes, which is not a thing.
100%. So, I echo everything that you said. Now, you can't talk about Turgeon without talking about Gary Williams for a second. And Gary Williams deserves a statue every 5 feet at in and around Maryland's facility. I mean, what he did, bringing them back from the death penalty in the wake of Lefty Driesell, Bob Wade, et cetera, culminating in that national title, deserves all the recognition, all the glory. But everything you said about the last several years is also part of the story, too. So you're 100% right that what Mark Turgeon walked into wasn't the same setup, right? It just wasn't. It wasn't. You know, Keith Booth and Dwayne Simpkins and X-ray hip and Johnny Rhodes given, you know, and Joe Smith and then giving away to Juan Dixon and everybody else. It's not. It wasn't that, right? So Gary didn't want to play the AAU game, and that's all been chronicled. We've done that, okay? Gary Williams is a legend. The last several years, he was more than welcome to hang on as long as he wanted to, but it wasn't necessarily the same program then. So this is where the self-image part comes in, right? Maryland fans, I think, then thought, this is a national power. This is Kentucky. This is Duke. This is North Carolina. This is, you know, UCLA. Name your national recruiting ability power, right? We'll just go get the best head coach with a name. That's not what's going to do it here anymore. And they're not, and you can't. You can't just go get the guy that's having, that is at a probably better job. Like right now, maybe honestly, like up at Ohio State or Michigan or some of these rivals there in the Big Ten or some other schools that have been powers here over the last couple decades.
What do you mean? I think both of those schools are definitively better jobs.
Oh, they definitely are. But Maryland fans 10 years ago didn't get that. I think maybe they do now.
I'm not even sure that they were better jobs 10 years ago. I just know that they are now.
That's fair enough. But to me, the point where I'm going is you need the next energetic guy. You need the assistant. You need the new, the 29-year-old wunderkind that's going to be great here for a while to energize this program and tap into the near limitless talent pool that's within an hour and a half drive of the University of Maryland. That's what's been lacking. That's what continues to lack. That's the part that's so frustrating, I think, to so many fans here locally who grew up, whether they went to Maryland or not, my parents did, and I followed them forever. The fact that you let all of these superstars that are populating the best programs in the country just go, and you can't get them, at least a certain percentage of them, to come to Maryland and dominate the way that they go and dominate for other schools is exasperating to so many local fans. Even if you didn't go to Maryland, if you have a passing interest in local college basketball being good, it drives people crazy. Nobody's been able to tap into that really for the last couple of decades. They need someone to do that. You start there. Next steps, I think, will take care of themselves. But this program should be better than it is, Grant. I don't believe that they should be a top 10 program annually, but one Sweet 16 in 20 years, no way.
No, that's unacceptable. And that's why he's out, to be completely honest. I think the regular season numbers, the overall record, some of the successes or the failures that they've had before the tournament would be forgiven, would be viewed differently if they'd made a couple of runs. You know, I go back to that 15-16 team when they were able to recruit Diamond Stone, who was one of the great recruits in the country. I remember when we had him on the show.
Yeah, it was a high school kid.
National story that they got him, if you remember. Mm-hmm. That team got to the tournament. They were a preseason top five team. Everyone expected to be one of the last teams standing. They were fighting for a number one seed. They had Melo Trimble at point, Rashid Suleiman. I think he had transferred from Duke. Stone and Robert Carter. How does that team not get to an Elite Eight? How does that team not go on a run? And there have just been too many seasons, while that's the best example, like that, where you felt like there was more talent. And to his credit, he has done a nice job occasionally with transfers or recruiting, getting players. That was always the sell. I mean, that's why he was here. That was always the backers of Turgeon would say, but he can get you the talent. And my point was always, I'm just not sure when he gets that talent, if on game night, he's going to get the most out of that group. Like, I watched Mason in Maryland back on November 17th.
Uh-huh.
Mason, by the way, has the kind of coach you're talking about.
Yep.
Kim English, we had him on the show. He's a 33-year-old, had a cup of coffee in the NBA, a college ball at Missouri, superstar young up-and-coming dude who's going to coach wherever he wants to 15 years from now. I promise you that. Get to know that name. He out-coached Turgeon. They beat them by 5 points. They came back and beat Maryland. It was really obvious. I remember on Twitter, a bunch of people hit me up after the game saying, We got outclassed. We got outcoached by George Mason University, which was a frustration to them. Don't mistake the fact that in the last couple of weeks they've lost to Mason and Virginia Tech as being a real thorn in the side, presumably,
100%.
For Damon Evans and some of the people that are involved in this mutual parting of ways.
Yeah, no, by the way, incredible point by you. I think 100% right. This is my own personal complaint. I thought Turgeon was a pretty good recruiter, administrator, good guy, very likable. If he had Gary Williams' in-game coaching ability, this would be a national power. I really believe that. I just don't think
Take Turgeon's recruiting and Gary's in-game. But, I mean, Danny, they did win 23 games in five of the past seven seasons.
They did.
Which is why I say they had the talent. Or it's not like he's incapable. I just think when you get to the tournament, there's this Dusty Baker feel of every decision, every possession matters a little more against elevated competition. And that's where sometimes I thought he got exposed.
Well, I'd also add that in some of those years, you stockpiling wins against Wagner, Central Connecticut State, Fordham, Monmouth, VMI, Winthrop, NC Carolina Central,
fair,
South Carolina
most
Upstate.
Teams are playing those teams.
Sure. I mean, so 23 wins.
23 is still a thing.
23 wins isn't 23 wins from when I was younger, but I that's a digression. I think your point is fair. To me, though, you could just watch a Maryland game. Watch one guy dribble for 40% of the shot clock, get one high ball screen. That doesn't go anywhere. Someone else does it. End of shot clock, bad jumper. That's Maryland's offense under Turgeon. And it was basically Mello Trimble, figure something out. It was just really hard to watch, and there weren't many adjustments there a lot of times. So they'd run into trouble in a tournament atmosphere, or you know, this year I think they're one of the three or four worst three-point shooting teams in the country. It's not where the game is. It's not where it's going. And there weren't many adjustments there to be had. I think that was the frustration from a lot of basketball junkies, you know, sort of you know, covering and thinking about this. But ultimately, the timing is very weird. Danny Manning now takes over as the interim guy. Manning's a guy that's very well thought of, obviously for his own run as a collegian, but in terms of as kind of this energizing, galvanizing recruiter and sort of potential CEO kind of head coach that's always been waiting in the wings. I wonder what that's going to be like here for the rest of the way if Maryland doesn't get a little kick from that.
I think they'll get a dead cat bounce, right? Because it's you play for the assistant. Oftentimes, that's one of the guys you have the relationship with because the head coach is going to come down on you a little bit more in the good cop, bad cop. I don't know that this move has anything to do with this season necessarily. I mean, certainly you want to salvage and do the best that you can this year, but I think you looked up and you said, wait a second, this is year 11. Where are we going here? We were 17-14 last year. You know, we've lost double-digit games three of the last 4 years in the regular season, and as you said, we can't get to a Sweet 16. How much longer are we going to do this? And that's why it was fascinating to me that they made the decision. I thought there was an opportunity to part ways maybe this offseason.
I would have.
The extension came, and you and I remember we reacted when that happened. It was pretty stunning. But clearly it was kind of the Donovan McNabb before Monday Night Football extension, where we kind of are extending you, but it doesn't really mean a whole lot because we're going to be willing to do whatever we have to get out of this. But it's only been 8 games. I mean, they're 5-3. Has not been a good 8 games, a massively disappointing 8 games. And you're right, I think the timing is the most surprising thing. Like, if you would have told me before that this offseason, Turgeon's out, I would have said, yeah, okay. He should be. Today, when I heard that, it was kind of a stop you in your tracks, go, wow, are you kidding me? That to me is why it's interesting. That's why it'll dominate the early part of our show, and we'll eventually get into the football team, football, the NFL in the next couple segments. But it's just, I think, a stunner that after this offseason, when it seemed like they recommitted to him or at least backed him, that 8 games later they decided, well, maybe all you guys who said we needed to do this are right. And the way at least the Post is reporting it is that he stepped down. So I should at least point that out. I mean, they're saying it was a parting of ways. It's being reported he stepped down. Nobody's using the word fired.
And that matters a lot to some folks. I am not some folks. Here's what I care about. The guy that just got an extension, the guy that everybody seemed on board, not everybody, but a lot of folks seemed on board with, despite the obvious lack of achievement, a lot of excuses are made for, a lot of bending over backwards to explain why it happened the way that it did. And, you know, people are going, well, this was a down year, and they lost Alabama, so that was good for what they did with the down year. Why are we having down years? Why are we having so many down years? Why do we have half the time, basically, down years under this guy? So he's gone. I care about that part of it. Some people care very much about who got fired or who's mutual or we parted company. That's fine to me. Enjoy those semantics. The biggest thing to me is a guy that just signed an extension, the head coach of what's still a pretty important program here in this area and could be nationally, is out.
Buddy of mine said that he talked to someone who was at the Virginia Tech-Maryland game just the other night on Wednesday,
mm-hmm.
and Kudus Wahab, who they brought over from Georgetown, who's legit, went 18-7, and they got some decent production from a couple of their big boys that were playing, but they lost by four. And he said, you know, Turge was getting booed off the floor. I don't know how throaty or how loud or how many people, but there were people booing. And, I mean, it had become acrimonious.
Had,
maybe
yeah.
for him, he just, you know, maybe they've had a couple tough conversations already, and he just said, you know what, I'm not really into this anymore. We can get your reactions as we go this hour at 800-636-1067 on the Gambit DC listener lines to the breaking news in DC sports that after an 11-year run, Mark Turgeon is out as the head coach of the University of Maryland. But next, 24/7's Jeff Ehrman. Nobody breaks more Maryland news than he does. We'll get his thoughts on what exactly happened and where they go from here and who could be the next long-term answer on the bench for the Terps. Remember, I'm in Vegas, so we got a lot of football content coming your way today, as well as Washington gets ready to try to win a fourth straight on Sunday at Allegiant Stadium against the Raiders. You're listening to Grant and Danny. Grant and Danny welcoming you back on the Fan. I'm live out in Vegas. We will be breaking down the Washington football team and the Raiders Sunday, Allegiant Stadium, 4 o'clock East kickoff for a couple of teams representing their conferences with playoff aspirations. It's a Football Friday on G&D presented by Alarm.com, keeping you connected to what matters most. But the rundown's been thrown into the bin for now because we are discussing Maryland basketball and Mark Turgeon. He is out as the head coach after 10-plus seasons. He was in year 11, and you know it seems pretty simple. There was plenty of regular season success, but you can't get to just one Sweet 16. Now, the timing's odd, so let's get more on how this all played out over the last 48 or so hours from Jeff Ehrman, who's the founder of the web's most visited Terp site, and with 24/7. Jeff, we appreciate you. Thanks for the time. Can you take us through the last kind of couple of days and what led up to this, do you think?
You know, I think it was pretty abrupt. I think it was really just the past few days. I mean, I'm sure it was in his head for a few weeks, but things have really gotten worse lately with the team obviously struggling. The fan toxicity, you know, whether you think deserved or not, which seems to be kind of a, not a 50-50 split, but a split, was so overwhelming both online and in person. You know, you could see it grow the past few years, the disapproval and impatience, whatever you want to call it. But this year, you know, I've told people recently before this happened, I don't think I've ever seen a fan base so united against a coach, even in pro sports, even in the NFL, where fans are insane. So, you know, there had been boos at Xfinity Center, and I think, you know, he probably saw this team and saw that it wasn't going to be likely that he could turn it around. Things are only going to get worse. He can't recruit well because of that, you know, cloud of negativity and lack of support, and finally just decided that it wasn't maybe healthy would be the word for him or his family, or wasn't just something he wanted to do anymore.
Why didn't it work well enough here, Jeff, for Mark Turgeon?
I mean, the obvious answer is the postseason, lack of success, you know, one Sweet 16 in 10 years for a fan base that, you know, had become impatient with Gary Williams for going to the Sweet 16 every other year for a while. That wasn't enough. So, you know, to just get there once in 10 years, they had the second worst record in the Big Ten tournament. So that became, you know, an issue too, just postseason in general. College basketball fans, you know, you live for the postseason. You're not getting those runs. And then, you know, style of play. Fans wanted to see more exciting style of play, and he continued to run that, you know, plotting offensive style, almost all of his focus on defense. So, you know, that became a thing, and the crowds really started to thin out in Xfinity Center. Recruiting had gone downhill the past few years. He leaned very heavily on the transfer portal, which sometimes works out and sometimes doesn't. It hasn't worked out so far this season. So I think it was just, you know, a confluence of all those things and the scheduling too. You know, the scheduling was weak. Fans want to see an exciting non-conference schedule. So I think you add all that up, and he wasn't a bad coach, obviously. You know, he got to the tournament most years. He's got a good career record, but ultimately the fans just wanted more high-level success than that.
Maryland Athletics insider Jeff Ehrman with us on Grant and Danny. This was his decision more than it was Maryland's, it sounds like you're saying. Is that what you think happened here?
I think that's right. You know, the way the press release was worded, he mentioned, "I met with Damon," and makes you wonder if there was any push. But no, I do believe that it was his decision at this time, that it was just an unsalvageable situation overall, and, you know, it was time to go. So, yeah, I do think it was his.
Two-parter here, Jeff. Part one, rate him 1 to 10 as a recruiter.
I'd say 6.5 to 7. You know, he had some good classes, but I think there was, you know, there were too many locals getting away, which isn't unique to him. That happened. That's always been the story of Maryland, right? Top blue chip guys going to Duke or wherever else. So that was an issue. You know, there was a decent amount of turnover, which is something that happens everywhere. But just recently, the past few years, you know, there wasn't as much high school recruiting and getting top guys and developing them into a team. I think there was a little bit too much leaning on the transfer portal, which, you know, these guys are all coming. We can see it this year with this team. These guys are coming from all over the place. They haven't grown up and developed and become friends and family in a program and learned each other. So you're throwing them all together and kind of hoping it worked out. And, you know, it just, so far it hasn't worked out.
Part two is rate him as an in-game coach.
Rate him as an in-game coach. I would say right in that same range, 6.5 or 7. Mm. You know, his teams were always really good defensively. You have to give him credit for that. Pretty good rebounding teams. But the offensive issues were so redundant over the years with, you know, it was hard to tell at times what they were trying to do on offense. Just lots of one-on-one, not as many easy shots. And then again, just refusing every year to pick up the pace at all, even when you have players like, you look at a Fats Russell this year struggling in the half court, you know, it seems like, you know, almost obvious that you'd have to run to really take advantage of his talents and some of the other guys on the team. So the offense was always an issue. But, you know, he's not as bad of a coach as a lot of people will have you. If you look on Twitter, you know, he's the worst coach in history. That's not the case. He did a respectable job, but there were some deficiencies.
Along those lines, you mentioned the toxicity from fans, the lack of approval. You said there's a debate as to whether or not it's warranted. What's your take?
I think, you know, a lot of it is warranted just because of the lack of postseason results at a program like Maryland. You know, you should be able to do a little more, build something on a little more national level. He had a respectable program on a national level, but it wasn't, you know, there's not a lot of buzz around it nationally. I think some of it is also because the last few years of Gary Williams' tenure were kind of quiet. You know, it kind of went down at the end a little bit results-wise. And then you combine that with those first 3 years of Turgeon, not getting to the tournament. That was a big drought, and I think that's when people really started to become impatient. And then as the years have gone on, you know, you've had teams that, you know, the team in 2015 that was hyped, you know, was number two at one point that year and just, you know, flamed out against Kansas in the tournament. So, it's not hard to understand why the fans have gotten to this point, which is really, like I said, one of the most I don't want to say hateful, but definitely disapproving tones I've seen toward a coach.
Jeff, who would be a good fit? Not necessarily a person. If you do have a candidate in mind, feel free. But just the kind of coach. I think Maryland fans a while ago just wanted somebody else's blue blood, you know, big name head coach. Just we'll pluck away Bill Self from Kansas, or we'll go get this other superstar coach or whatever. And I always thought that was naive and maybe a little bit off base. What kind of person, and again, if you have a couple candidates, throw those out, but what kind of guy would be a good fit here?
Well, you know, I think you have to get somebody who's going to get the fans excited. You cannot get somebody. You look at the hires that Kevin Anderson made, Mark Turgeon and Randy Edsall, you know, not even if they had solid accomplishments in the past, there's not a lot of sizzle to those guys. This is a fan base that desperately needs to be awoken, you know, and revived. It's not all just, you know, disapproval. A lot of it is apathy too. It's amazing. I see people on my site posting things like, you know, I was a season ticket holder for 25 years and I haven't watched a game this year. And you see that regularly. I see people say that all the time, which is really amazing. That just doesn't really happen much. So you need somebody who's going to get them on board, you know, somebody who can recruit, runs a style of play that's a little more entertaining and exciting. Those would be the two biggest things. Obviously, you know, you'd like it to be somebody with a track record of winning, but if you're going to get somebody with all of those traits, you're going to have to pay through the nose. So that's always a question mark at Maryland. They don't spend like a lot of other programs of their caliber or of their conference in the Big Ten do. So, you know, there's a million questions to be asked before we can figure out who the guy might be.
Jeff Ehrman on Grant and Danny. We only have about a minute, minute and a half here, but I want to just get a thought from you before we go on kind of the comments you made, which are to hire someone like that, that's an elite coaching candidate. I mean, is Maryland in a position where they can land that coach? And I guess it's a two-parter. What should Maryland basketball realistically be? Because Danny and I have always felt like there's a little bit of an inflated take on what Maryland basketball is locally and what it actually is nationally. So what realistically should they be as a program? And then throw a name out of, like, this would be awesome if they could somehow pull this off.
Yeah, it's funny you say that about the fans. I always tell people that people, fans tend to view Maryland basketball expectations based on what it could be rather than what it's been, with the exception of a few, you know, final 4 years, one national championship. So they do have a little bit of an inflated view, but, you know, clearly there are very few programs that have the sort of resources they have just in terms of the area, the fan commitment, the recruiting, the brand name. So it's really hard for me to say who the guy should be. I mean, the home run to me is Nate Oates from Alabama, not even a home run. That's a grand slam. You know, I think you'd have to kick the tires there. He's got a big buyout. You'd have to pay big. I think you'll see, you know, a good number of high-level boosters probably willing to chip in just to get the program right. So maybe they spend more than Maryland traditionally spends, you know. People will talk about Kim English at George Mason. He's a kind of a rising star guy. He's only 32, though. You know, he had a nice chance to show his stuff in person at Maryland with that win they had a couple weeks ago, but they've lost four in a row since then. So, you know, if you're that young and you don't have a winning season at George Mason this year, that would be an impossible sell. You know, I think Chris Holtman is a guy you probably try to kick the tires on too. Great coach at Ohio State. It's really hard. I mean, there's going to be a lot of names. Mike Pegues at Louisville, who's the assistant to the head coach, who yet another guy who just beat Maryland in the Bahamas, local guy from DeMatha. I think he would recruit well, but never been a head coach, so that one's probably a tough sell. You know, ideally, you don't want it to be somebody's first head coaching job, but that'll depend largely, again, on how much they're willing to spend and, you know, how ambitious they are about the future. This is really a rare chance to remake the program. They've only had three coaching changes since 1969, so you better do it right.
Jeff, great info, buddy. Really appreciate the time. I know it's a busy day, man. Thanks.
Absolutely. Thanks.
There's Jeff Ehrman, 24/7 Sports on Grant and Danny. Let's give you guys a chance to weigh in next. Haven't gotten any calls yet. We've been busy. 800-636-1067 is the number on the Gambit DC Lessoner lines. Bet, play, win with Gambit DC, brought to you by the DC Lottery. 800-636-1067. Top of the hour at 3, fear not. We're getting into the Washington football team and the Vegas Raiders. Some key players going to be missing for Washington who have already been ruled out. We'll tell you about that in 20 minutes when we launch into our game preview. Your calls on Turgeon next. Top of the hour at 3, our first look at Washington and Vegas on this Football Friday on Grant and Danny. Presented by Alarm.com, keeping you connected to what matters most. I'm in Las Vegas. Danny is in our D.C. studios. Phone lines are open for you at 800-636-1067. Reacting to huge news in town today. Mark Turgeon, in his 11th year as the head coach of Maryland, took over for Gary Williams. I mean, you're talking about basically Lefty, Gary, and Turgeon. I know there's, you know, a Bob Wade run in there. There's a couple of seasons.
We don't talk about the Bob Wade time.
Right. But there's not much turnover for Maryland basketball on the bench. And they have made the decision last year, lost in the second round of the tournament, which has kind of been what they've done. They've had one Sweet 16 run since 2002-2003. And that was the 15-16 team that was 27-9 that a lot of people thought was a lock for the Final Four, and they didn't get anywhere close to it. But some Maryland fans want to hop in here. Dan's in Rockville on Grant and Danny. Dan, what's up? Thank you for the call. How are you?
Thank you for taking my call. Three quick points. Be interesting to know how all this would look if COVID hadn't hit when they won the Big Ten but didn't get to play in the tournament.
Great point.
I can't fault Maryland for cutting losses now. It was a mistake to extend them, but I'm glad they did it now. Get rid of a lot of that distraction. Is he going to get fired? Is he going to keep? That eliminates that. But I'm really disappointed that it's Danny Manning. As a Wake Forest alumni, he destroyed our program. His offense was worse anything than Maryland. And I don't know if you want to be a conspiracy theorist. I wonder if Mark had a preview of that because he brought Danny Manning, his Kansas friend, on. He says, you know what? Maybe I can help him out here, being a conspiracy guy. Thank you.
Thanks, Dan.
Appreciate
Last you. Points I'll kind of discard at the moment. But it is true. One of their best teams is that 24-7 group that, where there's no tournament because of COVID. That team was pretty damn good. I think a preseason number 7 ranking, if memory serves.
Yeah. My buddy, who is a huge Terps fan, still says that was their best shot, and that was Turge's best team. Maybe not the most talent, but the best team he had, and he didn't get a chance in that tournament. So there's some bad luck that plays into it as well.
That's true.
But you've had a decade. I mean, year 11 here. Doug is in Maryland, home of the Terps, online too. What's up, Doug?
Hey, Doug.
Hey, G&D. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I'm a Terp. My son went to Maryland as well, and I think this is a positive day for the program. It's unfortunate, but the guy has just underachieved. He's had good teams. They just can't get over the hump. I think there's another factor for me, and that's the Kevin Anderson connection. And if you look what Anderson did, you know, moving them into the Big Ten and then hiring Edsel and Turgeon, you know, it was all a disaster. And you look at where the program is now, certainly financially in better shape, but the games are no fun to go to. The atmosphere is terrible. And I think Turgeon has been a contributor to that. So it's disappointing, I think, as a Terp to have to, you know, make the change. But I think it's necessary. And I think this will hopefully breed a little bit of additional optimism into the program and just get rid of the stench of Kevin Anderson.
Thanks for the call. There is something to be said, whether right or wrong, for an apathy that had set in. And that was such a good atmosphere for so long. Just getting some fans excited again, potentially being a benefit. Let's go to Tony in Waldorf on line 3 on Grant and Danny. Hey, Tony, how are you?
Good. Thanks for taking my call. I just want to say that the person they bring in next has to almost have the mindset like the University of Miami and put a fence around Prince George's County and the WCAC. You got the best county basketball in the entire nation and the best basketball conference, high school-wise, in the nation in your backyard. You have to go talent.
You're breaking up a little bit. Appreciate the call, though. His point, Danny, so true. 100%. But wasn't that the whole Turgeon point when he was hired? This amazing recruiter, and he did a pretty good job, but he didn't necessarily own PG County and kind of the fence he's talking about around this area.
So I was surprised that Jeff Ehrman, who we had on just a few moments ago, gave him as high a rating as he did. In both categories, both as a recruiter and in-game coach. But you know, I thought he was fine as a recruiter. But that fence that the caller was talking about. If you land, you know, like a 5% retention rate of some of these kids, you got a national power, dude. You got a chance to be really good on an annual basis and getting that pipeline. Gary was really good at getting Baltimore kind of included, where some of his great players from kind of early on as they were getting established. But this is something that's got to happen. You've got to nail local recruiting.
We always talk about not letting those guys leave, but the program isn't at a place yet
where
they can keep them from going to better programs. They got to get there first. Grant and Danny on the Fan will wrap up the calls on Turgeon, 800-636-1067. Hit the Washington football team and the Raiders next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh, oh.